Owen broke the news to Hazel.
Glorious. I told you not to put your trust in ghost AIs. All right, we can't shoot it. What does that leave? You know, we're pretty fast these days. If we took a really good running start and dove between the blades...
They're just heavy enough and sharp enough to cut us in two. And I don't think even we could regenerate from something like that.
All right. Let's just rip the damn thing out of its setting. We're strong enough, together.
That would be bound to set off an alarm. I don't want to emerge from the final tunnel to find 50 Hademen waiting, armed to the teeth with Hademen weapons. There are limits to what even we can survive.
Then you think of something. You're supposed to be the brains in this partnership. You think I hit things. That's the way it's always been.
I think better when people aren't screaming in my ear.
Hazel huffed and turned her back on him. She was tapping her foot ominously, never a good sign. And Owen decided he'd better come up with a few ideas.
Oz, is there another route we can take that will let us bypass the fan?
Afraid not. There are fans like this throughout the system. Whatever route you take, you're going to run into another fan eventually.
Hazel turned back suddenly.
On the other hand, every now and again I do get the occasional brainwave. Owen, back in Mistport, you tore a whole building apart just by thinking about it, right?
Well, yes, but...
But nothing. How did you do it?
Damned if I know, really. I just got angry enough, and the power came to me. I could feel the bank all around me, and it was suddenly the easiest thing in the world to tear it down. A lot of the maze's changes only emerge when I get mad or desperate enough.
Yeah, same with me. I get angry enough in a fight or pushed hard enough, and my alternates start popping in out of nowhere to save my butt. But your power sounds a lot like a Poulter's psychokinesis. If you could call up that power and then crank it right down, concentrating it just on the fan, I'll bet you could slow those blades right down without damaging the fan, and we could step through safely. Then you could let go, the fan would speed up again, and everything would be back to normal, all without setting off any alarms, right?
Right. That is an excellent idea, Hazel, really. The only problem is, I haven't the faintest idea how to call up my power, let alone control it. In the past, the power's just come when it's needed, and I had damn all control over it. It burst out of me, did what was necessary, and then disappeared again. When you get right down to it, we've never really understood what the maze did to us, or how we do the things we do. Mostly because we haven't had the time to look into it.
We could have made time if we'd wanted to. But we've never liked discussing the maze or what we might be turning into. It's one of the few things left that still scares us. Assuming we get out of this alive and intact, I think we need to do some serious talking.
The maze is gone, destroyed. We may never understand what its function was, or its intentions.
We're still here. We know we still have limits. We've banged our heads against them often enough. But I'll bet we could still learn a lot about ourselves by pushing those limits, fighting for control, working out exactly how it all works.
As in so many things, we learn by doing. Like a child learning to walk.
We should have done this long ago. Who knows what we might be capable of?
Exactly. Who knows what extremes, of good or evil, we might unleash? Who knows what we might be becoming?
I wish you'd stop asking questions. You know damn well neither of us can answer. We just did what we had to, same as everyone else. Look, we've come a long way from the original question, and this sure as hell isn't the time or the place for a philosophical discussion. I am standing in stuff I don't even want to think about, breathing green-tinted air that is probably doing unthinkable things to my lungs, directly under a city crawling with Hayden men who would be only too happy to rip off both our heads and make them into plant containers. We can discuss all this mystical shit later. Right now, all I care about is whether you can slow these bloody fan blades down enough for us to get past them. Will you at least give it a try? Why, damn it!
Of course I'm going to try, but we will continue this discussion at a later date.
He turned his attention back to the churning blades, gleaming dully in the bottle green light. They looked large and solid, and completely insuperable, and he didn't have a single clue how to affect them. He felt none of the anger or need that usually sent the power raging through him like a violent storm, sweeping away every obstacle. And even when he did have it, it was all he could do to focus it in the right direction. Focus. The word reverberated in him, suddenly full of significance, giving him a clue, a direction to move in. He turned his thoughts inward, blanking out the tunnel and the fan, trying to concentrate on how it had felt before when he'd focused the power. And a memory slowly surfaced from the past. He seized hold of it, pulling it into the light, and the concept, the feeling of focus, grew strong in his thoughts. It was like suddenly seeing a whole new color, hearing a new musical instrument, but more abstract than that, a whole new concept of experiencing the world. A surge of power pushed its way out of the back brain, the undermind, and all the way into his conscious thoughts, where it immediately became as obvious and familiar a thing as counting or reading or breathing. He reached out with his mind, as naturally as he might stretch out his hand, and touched the metal fan blades. They slowed under his sway, trembling as they fought against a force they could not resist, and then slowed still more till they were barely turning. The central motor groaned loudly, like a thing in pain, but it couldn't fight the force from Owen's mind. Hazel pounded him on the shoulder, grinning from ear to ear.
You did it, Owen! You did it!
Damn right. Now stop inflicting bodily injury on me and climb through before the fan decides it's malfunctioning and sets off an alarm.
Alarms, alarms! You're obsessed with alarms.
Hazel stepped cautiously between the barely moving steel blades.
One of us has to be.
Owen followed her through the fan. He released his will, and once again the blades resumed their normal speed. The feeling in his mind quietly shut down, retreating back into his subconscious. But now that he knew where to look, he was sure he could call it back again, if he felt it necessary.
So, what did it feel like?
Like dancing, or painting, mental grace under discipline, bringing the raw material of the world into order. Does any of that help?
Not a bit. We'll talk more later, when we've both got a hell of a lot of drinks inside us. Right, let's get a move on. We should be nearing the entrance to the main system soon, and then we'll have access to any part of the city we want.
Good. I can't wait to breathe some fresh air again. My lungs feel like ashtrays.
Before you start off again, there is something on that subject I feel we should discuss. According to a file I discovered in the city computers, there's a reason why the air in the sewers is so foul. It's poisonous. A rather deadly nerve gas, introduced into the system by the Hayden men to kill off whatever might be living out there.
Owen passed this on to Hazel.
Poisonous? But we've been breathing it for ages. Why aren't we dead yet?
A fair question, and one that has been much on my mind ever since I discovered the file. Apparently it's a very nasty gas indeed, with a 100% fatality rate. By rights, all the flesh should have melted off your bones by now.
It must be another of the maze's changes, emerging in us when we needed it, as usual. Just another way in which we're no longer human.
Don't complain. It's the first really practical change the maze has come up with. Keep moving, we've got a way to go yet.
They set off down the tunnel again. Owen tried breathing shallowly for a while, and then gave that up on the grounds it was too late now anyway. The rest of the journey was slow and plodding, but largely uneventful, until he reached the entrance to the main system and found their way blocked by a massive steel seal. A single great slab of solid metal. It filled the tunnel completely, and proved heavy enough to defy even their combined more than human strength.
This was wide open the last time I came through. It was only ever supposed to be closed in emergencies, to prevent flooding in the main system. It's a mechanical lock. Electronics and water don't mix too well. Based around massive sheathed bolts, and I haven't a hope in hell of cracking the locks without some pretty specific heavy-duty equipment.
The Hayden men shut it, to keep out people like us, probably. Since the lock's not electronic, I can't help you. The even worse news is that while there appears to be a manual override, it takes four people to operate it, working simultaneously. Security again.
Owen and Hazel check the four hand controls, simple wheels set one at each corner of the slab. But no matter how hard they stretched, their arms didn't even come close to reaching more than one wheel at a time. It had to be four people.
Stupid bloody thing. I didn't come all this way just to be stopped by a bloody lump of steel. Stand back. I'm blasting the bastard thing.
You need a disruptor cannon to get through something this big, and then there's the alarms.
I am getting really tired of hearing about the alarms. Never wanted to be a bloody spy anyway. I am not wading all the way back through the sewers, Owen. Either you come up with something, or I am blasting the seal and risking it.
The alarms would—
I'm not listening
to
you!
All right. I may have an idea. We got past the fan by fine-tuning my power. How about trying the same thing with yours?
Run that past me again, it fell off at the corner. How does my power help us here?
Well, you can summon an army of alternate selves to back you up in battle. Maybe if you concentrated hard enough, you could call up just two, and have them stick around long enough to work the other controls.
Damn. That's bloody brilliant. I take back everything I said about you. I'm not sure it's practical, but it's certainly worth a try.
She stood frowning at the floor for a long time, trying to concentrate. Like Owen, her power usually only emerged under great stress. In the heat of battle, when she needed her other selves to be there, they just were. Some merely blinked in and out of existence, only there long enough to block a sword blow or guard her blind side, while others stuck around for the whole fight. Hazel had no idea why some alternates turned up rather than others, or even what they really were. The best guess seemed to be that they were other versions of herself from different time tracks, people she might have been if history had gone differently, but she had no proof of that. None of them had ever stuck around long enough to answer questions. It was equally possible that all the other Hazels were just figments of her own imagination, somehow given life and substance by her maze power. It made just as much sense. The more she thought about it, trying to recreate how she'd felt during those past battles, the more it seemed to her that there was a direction she could reach in, very different from everything else. A direction as real as any other, but not limited to the world she lived in. She reached out, and a myriad ghosts with her face seemed to sense her presence and turn their heads toward her. She concentrated on her need for just two people, and two hands reached out to take hers. There was a sudden puff of displaced air in the tunnel, and two new women were standing beside her, hacking and coughing in the green-tinted air. Hazel shot a triumphant glance at Owen, and then realized that his jaw had dropped down almost to his knees. Hazel frowned and turned back to look at the two other selves she'd summoned. Their coughing was already dying away as they adjusted to the sewer air, and they stood proud and tall before Owen and Hazel. The woman on the left had skin so black she looked like a living shadow, and her hair hung in beaded shoulder-length dreadlocks. She wore bright silver body armor, chased and scored with magnificent runes, along with gold accessories such as knee pads, elbow guards, and knuckle dusters. She had a gun on each hip and was holding a short-handled axe. Tall and almost unbearably voluptuous, she looked every inch a proud, capable warrior woman. And yet there was something in her stance, in her face, her eyes, and mouth that was undeniably Hazel Dark. The woman on the right had dead white skin, and in the green light looked very much like a corpse that had risen from the embalming table in a huff, with the process only half finished. She was dressed in scraps and rags of leather, held together by brightly polished lengths of steel chain. She had rings in her ears and nose, and other less comfortable places, and there were metal studs, needles, and other piercings scattered elsewhere on her body. She was greyhound lean, every muscle clearly defined, and her head was shaved bald, better to show off the neat rows of steel studs implanted in her skull. She wore a long sword on one hip and an unfamiliar make of gun on the other. Both looked like they'd seen a lot of use. And yet, once again, the face and eyes were clearly Hazel's. Two ghosts, one black, one white, shades of people Hazel might have been if things had taken a different turn. For a long moment, the four of them just stood there and looked at each other with varying degrees of incredulity, and then Owen turned to Hazel.
Tell me you didn't summon these two on purpose.
Are you kidding? Now there's a fine welcome. And after I came such a long way to meet you. I'm Hazel, but the Hollow Tabloids call me Midnight Blue, which I kind of like. You can call me that to avoid confusion. Are you really another version of me?
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Oh, I know you, Owen Deathstalker.
And then she lunged forward and threw her arms around him, still holding her axe, and crushed him to her impressive bosom with enough strength to drive the air from his lungs. He just started to get his balance back when she suddenly pushed him away, sheathed her axe on her belt, and raised her right hand high. Owen reeled backwards from the force of the blow and might have fallen if Midnight hadn't grabbed him in a hug again. Tears starting in her eyes.
Well, you always did know how to make a strong impression on people, Deathstalker.
She looked at the pierced white apparition.
Do you have any idea what's going on here?
None at all. I changed my name to Bonnie Bedlam after the whole madness maze thing, by the way. Hazel was a doll name. Are you sure you're me?
Apparently. I like the name Hazel Dark. Look around and see if you can spot a crowbar we can use to pry these two apart.
Midnight Blue held Owen out at arm's length and smiled at him tremulously.
Owen, you bastard! How could you leave me? Oh, it's so good to see you again.
May I please point out that I am very definitely not the Owen you knew?
Of course not. He's dead. But you'll do.
Midnight didn't say for what, and Hazel didn't think she was going to ask. She looked at Bonnie Bedlam.
Do you know Owen as well?
I should hope so. We're married where I come from.
Hazel decided she wasn't ready to ask about that, and looked back at Midnight Blue, who had put Owen down, and was pulling his clothing back into place with little tugs and pats. Owen just stood there and took it, afraid to do anything that might set her off again. At length she finished, and smiled at Owen almost shyly.
Sorry about that. It was just the shock of seeing you alive again.
Well, if you want him to stay that way, I would lay off the hugs.
I think we could all use a little recent background history here. Obviously, your lives have taken very different paths from the Hazel I know. Why don't you start, Midnight?
Well, the rebellion's been over for some time. It's a mess everywhere. Billions dead, whole planets destroyed or thrown back into barbarism. You were killed, Owen, when Lionstone destroyed Golgotha with her hidden planet buster bomb. Jack and Ruby died with you. I was the only maze survivor left to try and start things running again. I should have been there with you to confront Lionstone at her court. But I walked out on you all when Jack made his deal with the families. I couldn't stand for that. Ruby almost left with me, but in the end she chose to stand with her Jack. And die with him, as it turned out. Only I was left alive. I should have been there. Maybe I could have done something. I don't know. I never will now. After the rebellion, I tried to hold things together, but too much had been destroyed. And I never was any good at politics. So eventually, I said to hell with them all and took off on my own. I'm back as a pirate again, running my own ship, the Faust. I make a living. Lots of opportunities for a pirate in an empire thrown into chaos. But I missed you so much, Owen. So when I heard the call, I jumped at the chance.
That's very sweet. But I'm not necessarily the Owen you knew. After all, you're very different from my Hazel.
Yes.
Midnight looked at Hazel, just a little disparagingly.
You really do need to work out more, dear.
How about you? Did I hear you right? We're,
married. Yes.
The tall, slender woman smiled at him with black lips, showing pointed front teeth.